Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
But if he's not there, that writing stands out bold, and it's all listed. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned, as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. It's talking about the day of the Lord here. And I will turn your feasts into mournings, and all your songs into lamentations, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the morning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. You understand, we've talked about this rapture you're all looking for, that it's not going to happen until right before the great tribulation, when God pours out his wrath. You're going to be here through the first part. Very clear in this Bible. Catch earlier episodes. There's too many places to list today. It's here. You're going to go through it, Christian. And there's going to be a great falling away because Pastor Tom told you you weren't. A great spiritual falling away in Thessalonians because they were all looking for God to snatch them out before any tribulation started. Well, you're going to be here. But God says, I will leave you for tribulation, but not great tribulation. Right after the midway point, he will pour out his wrath upon the earth. But you know what? The Jews will be here. That's what he's saying here. All of this horrible stuff. They will be here for that because they have not accepted Christ. They do shortly afterwards, but they will be here for that. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing of the words of the Lord. The Bible says they will search to and fro, and the word of God will not be found. Because Antichrist has made it a point to destroy every Bible and every person that preaches at that point. But there'll be 144,000 Jewish evangelists. God will have sealed protection over them. That will be the only ones here. These Bibles, you know, you got 48 or 9 Bibles in my building here. I don't know. I got a bunch. They'll all be gone. Everything will be gone. He says right here, I'm going to leave now. He's talking about the day of the Lord here. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. Ah, and the manner of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise again. Interesting notation there. He's talking about those who have sworn allegiance to the Antichrist. Oh, I didn't read that. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. The Antichrist comes from the tribe of Dan. It is a direct connotation to him. And I'll show you what it says after that. The manner of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise again. All hope will be gone. You place your trust in that man and that creature, you have no salvation. Chapter 9. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away. He that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Wow. There will be no place to hide in the great day of the Lord.
Sounds like some old elaborate underground cities and everything else too.
Yeah. How can God find me here? I'm 300 right. feet deep in a bunker.
Yeah, we're safe.
I'm going to pluck you right out of there.
Yeah.
Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. Though they be hid from many sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. God is the one personally dealing out judgment in the day of the Lord. A lot of times he uses others to deal out judgment. Now, when he is at this point, he's going to do it himself. The Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn. It shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned, as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. As yet not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord, because he made a promise to David. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in the sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. He's talking about Jesus Christ coming back and taking the everlasting throne of King David. After he has sifted out all the evil from among his people, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doth this. Not just the Jews, is it, Jonathan?
Mm-mm.
God never excluded anyone. He had a plan for everyone. He needed a special people to bring forth the line of Messiah. Those were his chosen people to be that special line. But everyone else that was here always had the ability to follow God with all their heart. And we see that time and time again in this Bible. Outsiders, strangers coming. Oh, they already know the Lord thy God. They have covenants with him. They talk with him. Was never, and I've heard it preached in church. Oh, the Jews were his chosen people, and we can be drafted in. Yes, he also said that. The whole book of Leviticus is a stranger once in. Yes, they can join. But he always had a way for everyone. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit thereof. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. And he ends there in those last three verses, speaking of the millennial time. It will be a wonderful, wonderful civilization under the reign of Jesus Christ personally. Book of Amos, a lot together there. The wrath of God is coming. He created all of us. He demands your obedience just because he created you. You know, it baffles my mind. To understand that this God gave me life, and not to worship him, and not to give him obedience. You know, perfect obedience is impossible because we're mixed with the seed of the serpent. But the heart can have perfect obedience. That's what God said about David. Even though you murdered, you committed adultery, the entire time your spirit was crying out and your spirit man took control again and repented, you were perfect of heart. That's what you got to shoot for, Christian. You're going to get up in the morning. God says, be the best person that you can be. Follow me with all your heart. And when you fail, all you can do is get up the next day and be the best person that you can be and try to follow God with all your heart. You belong to Him. Let Him realize that by your obedience. All right. That ends Amos. We're going to go in and do Obadiah real quick. Got a couple minutes left here. Obadiah is interesting because it foreshadows the end of Esau's people. I've heard so many preachers preach that the strife in the Middle East comes from Jacob and Esau. No, it does not. Esau done Jacob wrong. And Esau, God said several times already in past books that the end of Esau is coming. I will destroy every man that pisseth against the wall of the people of Esau. And Obadiah is one here to proclaim it also. You know, back when Israel was told by God to go around Edom on their journey to Canaan because Edom would not welcome them. They said, let us go through your country. We'll leave nothing but footprints. We won't take anything. Just you'll see wagon tracks and footprints. No, you will not. God got very angry about that. Obadiah, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? There's some notation here for America in this book too. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rocks, whose habitation is high, the greatest society on earth, most powerful military, who can bring America down? The same here with Edom. They're off on their mountain, doing their own thing. That hath said in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? No, I am exalted, and I always will be. Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and thou hast set thy nest among the stars, hence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Nothing escapes God's vision. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at the peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by a slaughter. Already prophesied because of what Esau done to Jacob and the fact that he never forgave his brother. You know, as Christian, or those who call themselves Christian, if you have unforgiveness in your heart for anyone, that is a stumbling block to your ability to interact with God. God doesn't like that. He forgives all. His son took a horrible, horrible beating and a death to forgive everything that you ever did. How dare you? not forgive your neighbor for anything. I don't care what it is. Sometimes it might take a while, but you have to work toward that. Don't try to slip past the doorman into the kingdom of God with unforgiveness in your heart. It's like a giant anchor with a chain on it.
Chinese finger trap.
Yeah.
Soul.
For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. You know, what violence did Esau do to Jacob? He came to do violence to Jacob when Jacob was traveling, when he had left his father-in-law. You got to read the book of Jubilees and the book of Jasher to fully understand it. He came with 400 armed mercenaries.
Meaning he already murdered them in his heart.
Yes, absolutely, Jonathan. Yeah. And that's what it's, yeah. If you did it in your heart, you've already done it. That's been the hardest sin for me there. You think it, you've done it. Yes, that's true. But God intervened, and the Bible doesn't necessarily spell that out so well, but the books of Jubilees and Jasher do. There was a mighty angelic intervention there. Esau came to kill Jacob and wipe his entire clan out. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, the foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. And this is for Jacob's future children. When Jerusalem needed aid, they called on Edom. Edom says, we're not sending anybody. Twice they did that. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he came a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. And you know, that hatred that Esau had for Jacob was told in family stories all through his line. I mean, these were brothers. Esau's people and those living in Jerusalem were brothers, cousins. Why would they not go help them? Because they were told of what that horrible Jacob guy did to Grandpa Esau. And why we hate these people. We will always hate these people. You can't have any place in your heart, Christian, for hatred. And you cannot fail to forgive. You got to forgive. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Oh, yeah, they did that too. Oh, yeah, there's some escaping from the tumult over there in Jerusalem. Well, they ain't coming here. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and they shall swallow down. They shall be as though they had not been. And that's a message to all that forsake God. They shall be as though they never were. Spiritual destruction. You know, beware the God that can destroy the Bible and the spirit, the body and the spirit. That's a terrifying one right there. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, the house of Esau for stubble. They shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall be not be any remaining of the house of Esau. For the Lord hath spoken it. Next time you hear that in church, coming from your pastor, all that stuff in the Middle East goes back to Jacob and Esau. No, it does not. It goes back to Ishmael and Isaac. It does not go back to Jacob and Esau. You know, Abraham was promised a son. Abraham took it in his own hands to create a son with his bondwoman, Ishmael. There are your Muslims.
And Mother Hagar.
Yes, a blood feud. Mm-hmm. Thousands of years now. They of the south, oh, well, the Muslim religion wasn't created, what, the 8th century?
600 years after Christianity was recorded.
Yes. Oh, how can they be the Muslims? Because Jesus Christ organized his people, and Satan organized his. You know? Oh, I got to compete with...
the king of the Jews.
Yes.
Got to make something fancy.
That's it.
And supplant him.
So it goes back to Isaac and Ishmael. They of the south shall possess the land of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of his host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's, in times, prophecies. But, basically, Obadiah was a prophecy to the people of Esau because of their hatred and failure to forgive. Christian, you cannot go down that path. You know, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, oh, well, that guy did some bad stuff to me. Yeah, but you know what? By not forgiving, you're doing bad stuff to your spirit man. You're making it very difficult to intercess with God.
You're swimming in the ocean and you're tying a 5-pound weight to yourself.
That's a good analogy, Jonathan. You got to forgive. All right. Well, it's been good to be with you here in Obadiah. We just finished Amos and Obadiah. It's good to be here with you today on WVFF 97.7 on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.